It was in the garden. He prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burdens to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And we sing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And all the rest. A lot of visitors here today, and thank you for coming, and I'm just amazed. I mean, some of you came from as far as Stavely, Branham, Woodhouse, down south, up north, as far as Edmonton and in Charlie Lake, Smoky Lake, Smoky whatever, I don't know, all over. Thank you for coming, and wow, it's just good to see not old friends, but friends from way back when. I don't want to call you old, just friends. And but good to see you here. And this is like a real reunion for me. And so, wow, what a thrill. So thank you for coming, being a part of this celebration. And really, it is about how marvelous is God's love for us. And it's what has brought us, and it's what has made us friends, and it's what keeps drawing us back, is his love that's within each one of us for each other. I've had a lot of thinking to do what I'm going to say today. I'm reminded of an illustration by John Maxwell, and it's of a young pastor that was going to denominational meetings, and there's going to be some high rollers, high preachers from the denomination preaching to the pastors, and all went well. Saturday, just before lunch, the head of the retreat and the head of the denomination, who's going to do the keynote address, comes up to this young pastor who's an up-and-rising star himself and said, you know what, one of our guest speakers just turned sick. We've all been wanting to hear you anyway. You're up. In 2 hours, you're preaching. The guy just panics. He says, I don't have any notes. I'm not prepared for anything. And the older gentleman just puts his hand on the young buck's shoulder and says, just trust God, buddy. Just trust God. The guy walks away, and he notices that this guy leaves his Bible behind. So he sneaks over, opens the Bible, and sees his sermon notes. It's going to be the final address. He loves what he sees. He steals them. Meanwhile, everybody's having a lunch, and he's quickly poring over the sermon, getting acquainted with it. And after that lunch, he's up. And everybody wants to hear this young buck. And he proudly steps up, and he gives this rousing, awesome sermon. Everybody loves it. And he's feeling really good about himself. When he's done, this older gentleman comes up just panicking. He says, you stole my sermon. Now what am I going to preach on? And the young buck says, trust God, buddy. Trust God. I've really had to trust God. Go, Lord, what am I going to say? I've rewritten a few things. But in the end, it's about how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me and for you. So welcome. And let's enjoy the love that is in this house and in God's people. Take a moment. There may be someone you haven't said hello to. You may have to introduce yourself. But do that. Let's make sure that we feel welcome. So welcome, and let's greet each other.
Bro.
This is the one we're playing for the course, right?
Yep.
Hey. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good morning.
Victory, he needs the
Well, it's great to be here with you this morning. We are Art and Rachel's children. My name is Ricky, and that's my brother Caleb over there, my brother Rusty, and my sister Patera. And these are our spouses, Owie, Erica, and Clara, and Rob is here as well, and will join us in a bit. It is an honor to be here with you this morning. Of course, we're here because of my dad, but this moment is about God. And we're here to lift our hearts together with you. We just want to continue with an attitude of worship, praising God for his faithfulness and for his amazing grace. So let's continue to lift our voices together. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shine like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a failing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. He became sin, who knew no sin.
that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. For sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing.
Let's lift our voices.
Jesus Messiah, the name above all names. Blessed for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. Sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Lord, we sense that there's joy in the house. That's because you're the King of joy. You're the King of glory. You're the King of hope. You're the King of love. You're the King of forgiveness. You're the King of new beginnings. We're all here because we've had new beginnings in you. And so we just reflect on that. And as we reflect, and as again, we just taste and see that the Lord is good. And we can't help but sing. We can't help but go back to the cross. We can't help but just be joyful for the presence and the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. We can't help but rejoice for the written revelation that we call the Bible. It gives us so much defined truth and revelation of yourself. We know you, not just about you, but we've come to know you. And so thank you for that relationship that you've chosen to have with us. And so, Lord, as we continue in this service, that our relationship with you will continue to deepen because of your faithfulness and the working and the drawing of your Holy Spirit that draws us to yourself. God, continue to do that work in each one of us, we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
As we gather to worship, it is
we worship through song, and song is an amazing gift that God has given us, and through music, and we can lift our voices, and that's a command that God has given us to praise Him through our voices. The other amazing, incredible gift that God has given us is His scriptures. And as we use the scriptures as a guide, as an encouragement, it gives us strength. And again, scriptures are for us to be in and to read on a regular basis. So we're going to pause now and take time to read from God's Word. I'm going to ask Juliana Lester, if she would come up and share with us God's Word this morning.
Good morning. Okay. Tara. I'm having a hard time finding 1 Thessalonians in my Bible Gateway Bible. There we go. Hang on. There we go. What a delight to see so many faces we haven't seen in a while. 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. I'm going to start to cry because this reminds me of Art and Rachel. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how He lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
It is my pleasure to welcome you as well. My name is Douglas Welpton, and I have the privilege of being the chair of the Elders Board in our church, a Faith Community Baptist Church. And it is so good to see you, and I know many of you have traveled many miles to be here for this special occasion. Some of you walked down the street, so thank you for those of you that were able to walk down the street to be here as well. We want, of course, everybody to be here. There's just for our regular folks, I won't take much time, but just to remind you that there is regular activities happening this coming week, so make sure you have a bulletin, make sure that you're aware of things that are going on, not so only so you can participate, but so also that you can pray. So for our regular people, make sure that you grab your bulletin and pay attention. Just to give you a forewarning too, I'll be emceeing sort of our I don't know what we're going to call it, a roast or a toast to Art and Rachel, but it's going to be something oasting, yeah. So we're going to start part one of the program before you move anywhere, okay? So right after the closing song, we're going to be starting a little bit, then we're going to be breaking so that some of you that need to escape for other family commitments, I'm sure, or other good reasons, we'll give you that opportunity as well, and we'll be able to share a meal together at that point in time as well. So all that to say is right after the service, don't move, okay? I'll be here to make sure you don't move. The other thing, again, for our regular folks, just a reminder that our offering box is at the back. And this is, again, as we give our tithes and our offerings to God, it's just a privilege and an honor that we can give. And giving is an act of worship. And as we give, God is, He blesses us so richly. And really, as we give, we're only giving back to Him what's already His. So, so offering is an intimate and an important part of worship as well. I'm not gonna prolong. I don't wanna take any time away from Art's sermon today. I told him he had to keep it short anyway, so he's, sweating already. So anyways, we're just gonna take a moment and go to God in prayer and yeah, just bring before Him, some of the things that are on our hearts and our minds. So let's pray together. Father, this is a special day, and we first of acknowledge that the reason is special is that we come together to worship You. And we come together from all over this great country, the western provinces, we come together because we want to honor Art and Rachel here this morning, but foremost, and they I know say amen to this as well, we're here to honor You. We're here to worship You. We're here to bring praise to You. We're here to read Your scriptures. We're here to hear the message that You have placed on Art's heart and soul and mind this morning. And so, Father, we want to just pause for a second and just give You the honor and the glory and the praise that You deserve. And as we give You honor and praise, we also recognize that we're dependent upon You. And this thing called prayer is one of those things that we admit is our way of admitting that we need You. And as feeble human beings, we cannot do this on our own. We're so weak but as we engage with You, as we have that personal relationship with You, now together with You, we can accomplish much. And even as a church, as many churches are represented here this morning, we think of the role, the mission of the church, and that is not just to meet in behind closed doors and do our thing, but is to reach into the world, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray that that would continue to be our mission, that we would never stray from that, that we would be bright lights, that we would be flavorful salt in a very broken world. Specifically today, as we come to pray a couple of needs in our own church, we pray for Helen McCullough today, as she has lost her sister very suddenly this week. And lots of questions and that family, Helen's family, Helen and Randy and the kids, I just pray that You will give them a special sense of Your touch, that they would know that You're close. And as they remember and as they mourn, I pray that they would continue to be drawn closer to You, and You would give them the strength and the comfort that they need. Father, there's other needs in our church, and there are many. There's, you know, the names of people that have been diagnosed or been treated for cancer. And so, Father, I give those people to You. You know them by name. Others, Father, are struggling with age-related stuff. And so, Father, it's tough sometimes, and pain is never an easy thing to deal with. And so as people wrestle with pain and as doctors are diagnosing, I pray that You'll give them wisdom, give them comfort, and encourage them in their journeys. For those in our church that are struggling, maybe there's financial issues, there's emotional issues, there's relational issues with family or fellow workers. So, Father, you understand these things, and so we give them into your hands. So, Father, I'll be preemptive in praying for Art this morning as he comes and shares from your word. I pray that you would anoint his tongue. I pray that you would anoint our time that he shares with us, and that it would definitely be your Holy Spirit would continue to just touch this service. And as we close, we are reminded of the gifts, of the offerings that have been given or giving. As each one gives, I pray for your blessing on them. As they give from the abundance that you have given to us, I pray that you will in turn bless them and use these gifts for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So I want to share one more request, and I'd like to lead in prayer as well. Last night, we received some bad news. It's the kind of news that people from Syria always hope won't come. Yesterday, Wasal, who's one of our Syrian ladies, her brother was killed by ISIS on the road. And so Jamil and Wasal are in absolute shock. And oh, they are here this morning. I didn't realize you were here. Nice to have you here. We want to pray for them as I think maybe today will be the ceremony for the funeral. And so for Ehab and Mary, Jamil, Wasal, and it's that's the fear that you have. And so let us rally in prayer around their hearts this morning. So would you just bow with me in prayer? Our Father, we don't know where to begin. We just call on you. All we can do is just fall into your arms and say, "Oh Lord, hold me tight in your care." So for Saul and Jamil, Ehab and Mary, as they're just grieving the loss of a brother, a brother-in-law, an uncle, someone who's left two small children behind, loving wife and a mom, an extended family. The reason we come to you, Lord, is because you are the resurrection and the life. And we hang on to that. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even when he dies." And we just hang on to that. You're the Lord of life. And we just pray that life will be clearly proclaimed at the ceremony. Lord, that you will give the priest the words, the unction, the anointing from your Spirit to share what needs to be shared with that family. Lord, he himself isn't that comfort, but he can share the comfort that comes from you. And so for that, as the church there rallies around the family, Lord, as we rally around Jamil and Wasal and the family, Lord, that again, you would just become more real to us all the time. We know that our time will come to meet with you. We just don't expect it will be in ways like this. But you're still Lord. You can still bring comfort. You can still bring strength. You can still renew our hope in you. And so beyond that, Lord, we're just wordless. You know the depth of their hearts. And so touch them just so deeply today. When King David said, "As for me, the nearness of God is my good," I just pray that in a very special way with Saul, we'll feel your nearness. And God, may their faith may their hope be stronger than ever, because that's all that's left, is that hope that you are the resurrection and the life. So God, continue to make that real to them every moment as they continue to grieve this deep loss. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, as we take a few more minutes to just continue to lift up an offering of praise to the Lord and of worship, I just want to encourage you as we sing these songs, whatever is in your heart, whether that is joy or grief or pain or thanksgiving, as we sing these words, would you lift those up to our Heavenly Father? So would you stand and join us as we continue to worship?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Let's sing that again, my hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Let's sing that one more time. Let's praise the Lord.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
You know, as I listened to Doug's prayer and what my dad was just saying, and recognizing that many of you are guests here today just like us, I was reminded that as believers, we don't belong to a congregation. We don't belong to a denomination. We belong to a kingdom. And so this morning, you know, we rejoice with those that rejoice. We grieve with those that grieve. But we got a good God, and He is Lord of Claire's home. He is Lord of every group of believers gathering in His name this morning. And He is Lord of all. That's a wonderful truth. And as we sing this song, let us just celebrate that truth together, that Jesus is Lord of all.
All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all of my conflicts, all my thoughts, Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins the battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my longings, all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all of my failures, His power redeems, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord.
Just sing the chorus one more time.
King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
more time with just the voices.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Please be seated. Before my dad comes up for the message, us, his sons, wanted to take the opportunity to do what we've done with our dad over the years, which is just have one last quartet number. Dad doesn't know about this. We haven't practiced it. So it might be rough. My mom's going to play the piano. Caleb, if you don't mind grabbing the music from Mom there. So come on up, Dad.
Come gather around here, guys. Okay.
All right, so we haven't practiced this, but my dad doesn't need practice, as you know. He's got a great voice, and he'll just join in with whatever. The rest of us, maybe not so much. But so, you know, enjoy and feel free to sing along with us.
Here you guys can.
We'll just sing up.
We'll just sing up.
Okay. Free from the burden of sin. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Service for Jesus your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Please join us.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you.
When I saw the order of service, I was wondering what that special number was. I hadn't heard about that. I'm going, special number. Hang on, okay. So I thought maybe Doug Welpton was going to sing a solo or something. I was kind of looking forward to that. That'd be special. Put the special in special. Yeah, it's One day Einstein was asked to speak at an important science conference. And on the way there, he tells his driver that who looks a lot like him. He says, "I'm sick of all these conferences. I always say the same thing over and over again." And the driver agrees. And he says, "You're right." He says, "As your driver, I attend all of them. And even though I don't know anything about science, I could give the conference almost word for word. I've heard you so often." He says, "Why don't we trade places?" Einstein says, "That's a great idea. Let's switch places." And they were sort of lookalikes anyway, and so they quickly switched clothes. And as they arrive, the driver, as Einstein, goes on stage, starts giving the usual speech while the real Einstein, dressed as the driver, attends it. But in the crowd, there's one scientist who wants to impress everyone and thinks of a very difficult question to pose to Einstein, hoping he'll be able to respond to this so that this scientist will just stump him. So the scientist stands up, interrupts the conference by posing this very difficult question. The room goes silent. Everyone's holding their breath, waiting for a response. The driver looks him dead in the eye and he says, "Sir, your question is so easy to answer, I'm going to let my driver refer to it." I've been wondering what to say, because I think there are others that could do it for me. As I was reminiscing, I felt like Mark Twain, who said, "When I was younger, I could remember anything, whether it happened or not." And my wife once in a while has to tell me when I tell a story, she says, "That's not the way I quite remember it anymore." And I go, "My stories are changing as I get older. I think I remember them, but apparently some of my details are changing as I tell some of my stories." I am absolutely amazed and thrilled at how God calls us. Everyone here is called. You've been called to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I resisted that call. Many, many a night, my mother would kneel at the bed and say, "Art, would you ask Jesus into your heart?" "Nope." And I resisted till after high school, and I just was not going to have anything to do with that for a while. And so I enrolled at the University of Manitoba for agriculture, and just before university started, I had sort of a road to Damascus experience. God intervened, and suddenly I found myself, even though I was not a believer or a follower of Jesus at all, I found myself attending a Bible school, and I'm just going, whoa. And God knew what it took to get me there. Because I had girls in my mind. And I knew that's a good place to go find a girl. So I went to Bible school. I decided, you know what, I'm going to go there and find a girl. So went there a couple of years. Nothing happened. That was a small Mennonite Brethren Bible school. Doesn't even exist anymore. Winkler Bible Institute. Then after a while, I attended what was Winnipeg Bible College, which is now called Providence College. And lots of girls, but nothing happened. Then I attended seminary in my second year, day one, in line, in the breakfast line, was this beautiful blonde with big brown eyes. And that's history. And God kept her for me. And even though I'm 100 years older than she is, she has put up with my age. We've had fun together, and she's just been an amazing, amazing life partner. And I'm a team player, and I like to do everything with Ray. And so I just, I can't help but to say thank you, Lord, for giving me something that I needed. And together, we've had a lot of fun. We've been through a lot of valleys. Every time we drive past the Nanton Cemetery, might just be our little girl. With a couple of breakdowns I've had, my wife has been faithful. But after my second one, she made it very clear, don't you ever have another one. The Lord's been gracious. I've had two major breakdowns where I've had to leave ministry for a bit. And but the Lord helped me recover. And I just couldn't stay away from ministering to people. And it's just been a blast. While I was busy doing church work, my wife was busy leading all four of our kids to the Lord. I'd come home from a board meeting. My wife would say, oh, I just led Rusty to the Lord while you're at a meeting. Excellent. And sometime later, oh, I just led Patera to the Lord while you're at a meeting. Okay. All four. While I'm away at some church function, church business meeting, she's leading our kids to Christ. And I couldn't ask for anything better. Couldn't ask for anything better. Never bitter. Never bitter about all the moments I spent away from home doing church stuff, faithfully being there, and ensuring that our children had a positive attitude about ministry. There are a lot of preachers' kids out there who have a bad attitude. You know where that attitude comes from? It comes from their mother. I'm serious. If a pastor's wife isn't positive about her pastor being away a lot, that attitude will pass on to the children. The children then will be negative about ministry. And I know quite a few young bucks that I went to college and seminary with that started out in ministry. Some of them didn't last long because their wife wouldn't stay with them in ministry. They had to leave. I'm so blessed to have a ministry partner with me. And she marches to her own tune, believe me. She does it her way. And very unique. She has her own style and her own giftedness. And she follows her giftedness. And I'm just so grateful for our ministry together. So, sweetheart, all I can say is thank you. 36 years of ministry together like this. And I was already a pastor when she married. So she's always been a pastor's wife. So and it's just been, it's been a thrill. When I look at some of the highlights, everyone has highlights. You have some, you, when you look back at your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, you will have some things where you were so incredibly blessed and your heart is filled with joy. And you've had some low times, and all of us go through that. I think one of my real highs has just, well, it is. It is leading people to Christ. And it started in Bible school. After I got saved, I came home in the following week and I went and visited my friend across the road on the farm and led him to the Lord right the next weekend. And immediately I had a passion to bring people to Christ. When I first came to Brooks in 77 as youth pastor and then became preaching pastor of the Evangelical Free Church in 1978, And then following, God, there's a mighty moving one summer where I had a number of oil patch guys came to the Lord, just one after the other. And God just brought them across my path. And God really introduced me to relational evangelism. And I just had this incredible blessing one summer. It was just, I just couldn't believe the miracle of guys coming to the Lord. Well, then I came to Nanton, and now Nanton was a small church. I had to earn my keep. You know, in a bigger church, when you're a young guy, you can hide behind the office and hide behind administration and, you know, you can be busy, but when you're in a small church, you gotta earn your keep. You gotta, you know. And so I started developing relationships, and next thing I had the privilege of leading all kinds of people to the Lord, and several of them are all right in front of me, ex-Nantonites. I was blessed to lead to the Lord, and what a privilege. Same thing happened in Medicine Hat, and I don't know what happened here. Here I haven't had that same harvest as in previous churches, and I don't know why, but leading people to the Lord has been just a real highlight of my life. Probably ministry-wise, the most difficult thing I had to do, and there may be very few here who remember this, but back in the early 80s, and I can't tell you, was it 1980, 81? When a Satan worshiper that worked at XL Foods in Brazil killed his wife and all his kids for being Christians. Then he went to the pastor's house and killed the pastor and his wife. And then went to every home of every board member. He's going to kill all the Christians in Nanton. I mean in Bassano. And God had it that every board member and their wife were just out of the house that day. One family had just left for holidays that morning. And every home he went to, they were all gone. At about that time, they started to realize something had happened in Bassano. And of course, that's when the whole RCMP force of Alberta was there. And then I was in Brooks, and then to be called in and to meet with the church who've just gone through that tragedy. There isn't a word I could share. You sit there, and as a young pastor, I didn't have a clue what to say. Neither did they, and I don't think it mattered. There were no words you could share. And that whole process of being with that church, going through that time, would be, in my ministry, been the most difficult thing that I have ever experienced. And I'm grateful it only happened once. I love preaching. And God put it in my heart to do that. Gave me some of that giftedness, at least. But that was comes from Him. And the verse that has affected me and to some degree, I hope, shaped me, and where I haven't, my apologies to you, but Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, is my ministry verse. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. That's my theme verse. That my words will bring life, will water your faith. And I trust that that can be a verse for each one of you. All of us need to have our lips and our tongues anointed by the Lord, that our words will be exactly what people need from each one of us. Words are rather important. My task as a preacher is by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the revelation of the Word of God, to use words to make you hear, to make you feel, to make you see, so that you will believe, follow, and serve Jesus Christ. And that comes through words. And it's been an incredible challenge to Sunday by Sunday, whenever, to come up with words that will accomplish the purpose God had not only for me, but God had for you. And it comes through words. Someone said that preaching is the Holy Spirit's amplifier and the Savior's projector. Every Sunday I had to be clear what I was trying to say, and I had to be clear with my text. And I had to be so clear that when I would come to the closing observation, I could give you some clear pointers what to do with the text. So that you could walk away knowing what God was trying to say to you that morning. And if not, then we will experience what Chuck Swindoll said, quote, if there's mist in the pulpit, there will be a fog in the pew. God wants each one of us to be articulate and intentional in serving divine truth. And He has chosen to use words. There are many ways God could have come to us. He could have dropped visual images like photographs or paintings to describe what He wants us to know and learn. But He gave us words. And I've been blessed to share words. Preaching is truth set on fire and truth delivered through personality. I spent close to anywhere on the average 15 to 18 hours trying to prepare a sermon. And what I'm really, really delighted about is that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where we read from, I'm not looking at Gateway, but I'm still struggling trying to find. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. It has been a blessing preaching here because I have seen the hunger in you as you receive the message with the joy of the Holy Spirit. That has made my ministry a blessing. What a blessing it's been to be here. But here's my challenge. Who here that attends this church, who here remembers what I preached 5 weeks ago on August 24th? Well, neither do I. And that's the problem. I've put all this work in, and I don't remember hardly anything I've preached, and you don't remember hardly a thing you heard. And I'm reminded by John Piper, who said, don't love your preaching, but love the people you're preaching to. And if you remember nothing, I hope you will somehow remember the love of God flowing through Ray and I. I will remember the love of God flowing through you. We remember people's attitudes. We remember people's responses. And that's what puts a smile on people's face. So what have I learned? Just a few quick one-liners. God is God and I am not. Boy, have I learned that a lot. He's God and I'm not. Secondly, I'm a human being, not a human doing. Sometimes we're too busy doing. But we need to spend time with Jesus and just be. Because we're human beings. I shared last Sunday and I'll say it again. A student learns what his teacher knows. But a disciple becomes what his master is. I am a human being, not a human doing. Thirdly, the importance of every adherent in this church. When you weren't here, your chair was empty. You were missed. And when I see all the work done behind the scenes by various individuals, thank you for your ministry. You are important. You're as important as the council, the board members, the elders, everyone. You're all equally important in this house, in this place. Another thing that I've come to realize that, fourthly, is everyone wants progress, but no one wants change. Change forces us out of ruts. It destabilizes our routines, challenges plans, forces us to ask new questions. Everyone wants progress. Nobody wants change. I shouldn't say nobody, but change is difficult to experience with. Fifthly, sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes he just calms me. And isn't that true for you? That's what God does. Six, focus more on discipleship, not just on decisions. I haven't focused enough on discipleship. Sometimes I focus too much just on decisions. Seven, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. You know, I think the story of Billy Graham. I mean, he was offered so many things, to be an actor, to be a president of the United States. They offered him $10 million to start a new university called Graham University that was supposed to rival Yale, and he was supposed to be the president, and they were just willing to throw millions of dollars at him, and he almost did. He almost went from preaching to starting a new Graham University. But with his friends, he came back to his one main calling, and he said no to all the offers. Three times he was asked by various individuals in the 50s and 60s to run for president. But he said no. His call was to preach, just to be who he was, not to be what other people wanted him to be. So just be yourself. Seven or eight, don't let what you don't have hinder you from using what you do have. Oh, I don't have much, so therefore I won't do anything. Doesn't work that way. God deliberately gives you what others need and gives others what you need. That's why we need one another. And I've realized, I know it's a famous saying, but it is so true, the only way up is down. He who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Lastly, the gospel is timeless, the need is endless. May the gospel never be watered down in your life, in your teaching, in the preaching in this place. The gospel is timeless. The need is endless. So I have a few words to you as a church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Notice how work and faith go together. Work by the faith, literally. The word work means an action, an achievement. There's a story about a janitor in a small church, and the janitor was talking to a parishioner in the hallway about the furnace. But someone who overheard the conversation thought the janitor was talking about the pastor, because what the janitor said was, the blower still works, but the fire's out. I have to say, my blower doesn't want to work much anymore. There's still a little bit of fire. But all of us are to be known by our work of faith. Thank you for demonstrating your faith through your work. It is very obvious there's faith because there's a lot of work. And I thank you for your work of faith. A special thanks to Linda, my administrative assistant. Man, she's just worth her weight in gold. She's just incredible. And she's covered up for me a lot. Whenever possible, made me look good. That wasn't often. But she's just, you have an incredible administrative assistant in this church. My thanks to the current and past members of council of the board and of elders. You have been an absolute delight. There has never been an evening. I have come home, and I've come home discouraged. Not once. I can't always say that from past experience. I can say that here. You are very blessed with a strong council, a strong board, and a strong elders board. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love. Well, the world can outfinance us, it can out-entertain us, it can outnumber us, but it should never be able to outlove us. And I pray this place will continue to overflow with a labor of love. That labor word for labor means to sweat it out. Even you have to force yourself to love someone. But we got to love. That's one thing the world can't outdo. To love one another with the love of God. And then also remembering your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to endure. You have some exciting times ahead of you. Hang on to your hope. When they did the inscription for John and Charles Wesley in Westminster Abbey, they wrote this inscription, quote, God buries his workmen, but he carries on his work. God will carry on his work. Continue to endure with hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, from the bottom of my heart, for my wife, Rachel, to all my kids who've been my supporters, who've always sort of believed in me. they've been incredible, absolutely incredible. I am such a blessed man. I thank you for being my friends. You are my forever friends. And I look forward to the day when you and I together will bow before the Master Teacher and let words of life flow from his lips to each one of us as we continue to learn of him and worship at his feet together. In the meantime, keep trusting in him. I would like to end with a little reading where I will pause and say, I'm telling you, church, you can trust him. And when I do that, I want you to shout out amen. I want this to end with an amen corner here. So here's what I want to do. Before we have our closing song, I want you to stand. Stand with me. I'm going to read a number of lines, and when I say, I'm telling you, church, you can trust him, I want you all at the same time to shout out amen. Okay, here he goes. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shore of supply. I'm telling you, church, you trust him.
Amen.
He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's internally powerful. He is impartially merciful. He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. I'm telling you, church, you can trust him.
Amen.
He can satisfy all your needs. He can do that simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes, he sees, he guards, he guides, he heals, he cleanses, he forgives, he delivers the captives, he defends the feeble, he blesses the young, he regards the aged, he rewards the diligent, he beautifies the meek. I'm telling you, church, you can trust him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory. I'm telling you, church, you can trust him.
Amen.
He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. I'm telling you, church, you can trust him. Amen. Lastly, his office is manifold. His promises are sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I'm telling you, church, you can trust him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are our creator. You are our recreator. You are our redeemer. You are our sustainer. You are our righteousness. You are our resurrection and life. We are all about you. I pray you will continue to be the focus of this church. I pray that out of the fullness of your supply, the greatest of miracles will yet take place because of who you are and your desire to bless this church so that it will be a blessing in this community and the world around. You're the God of history. Thank you for the memories. You're the God of the present. Thank you for these moments. You're the God of the future. Thank you for all that is in store, that we who are true believers in Jesus will one day again have this reunion and bigger and more as we will shout, Amen, that we can trust you. You've been trustworthy. And so, Lord, dismiss us now with your goodness, your grace, and your blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. Give you his peace. Amen.
We just are going to close here by singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Mom, Dad, are you going to join us on stage? Well, God is faithful. And so would you just join us in singing these words?
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars.
All right. I guess we're done. You can be seated. I don't know.
So thanks for following my instructions and not going anywhere. That's good. As Art and I were, I've been talking to Rusty and Ricky as well, and talking about what we wanted today to look like. We talked about the fact that we wanted the service to honor God, and I believe that's something that we have we've seen this morning as God has been honored, as His word has been preached, as His the worship is definitely being a morning where the Spirit continues to move. And so I thank you, Art, for your powerful words and for your encouragement to us as a church. And my commitment to you is that we will continue the work. God will continue the work. We're just here to be His hands and feet. So thank you for your encouragement. So that was the first part of the morning. The second part of the morning slash afternoon is we're here to honor Art and Rachel. And it's sort of a weird, I've never been part of a retirement thing before as far as, Art, this is new to you too, eh? Okay. But anyway, so we as a church get to thank him for 7 great years of service to us, but there's many of you that have traveled here that have been part of his ministry in other places like Medicine Hat and Nanton. Met a couple from Charlie Lake, BC, which is up by Fort St. John, traveled all the way to be here. Art didn't pastor in Charlie Lake. He pastored in Nanton, and they moved to Charlie. Anyways, that's another story. So anyways, we're here to honor Art and Rachel. So the way this is sort of going to work, and you need to, I hate to be a power monger here, but you really need to listen to me this morning, okay, to make sure that chaos doesn't ensue. So we're going to have a couple people share. Carrie, you get your, come on up here, Carrie. Jake's already chomping at the bit. He's ready to go. Man, he's not waiting for anybody. But you have to go after Carrie, okay? Okay, so we're gonna have a couple people share here just some thoughts about Art and Rachel, and then we're gonna have a short video. This is does Rachel know about this yet? Sort of. There's a Rachel video coming that she sort of knows about. That's always a scary place to be. So I first of all want to introduce, so we've got two great people here. We've got Carrie and we've got Jake. And Carrie is newish to our church. And she's newish to even her, I'll say newish to your faith, right? Yeah. And Art had the privilege of baptizing her a year ago-ish. And so this is, we wanted Carrie to come and share. And then right behind her we've got Jake. Jake is old. I was trying to think of a nice way to say it, Jake, but that's the only way it could come out. So Jake is old. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You were part of Art and Rachel's church in Nanton. That's right. And then somehow you ended up down here, part of their church here. So Art and Rachel and Jake, they go back a long ways. So I'm interested to hear the stories. So anyways, without further ado, I'll ask Carrie to come and share a few words.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So I get to talk today about Rachel. Very excited. I asked some random people here at church to give me one word to describe Rachel. Here are some of the words slash phrases I got. Real, sincere, genuine, such a treasure, joyous, bubbly, down to earth, elephant, not sure what that one means, but apparently you do. mentor via example, gifted encourager, hospitable, adventurous, uplifter, and the perfect pastor's wife. I really had a hard time finding words to write this speech to you, Rachel. How do you find words for someone you admire so much? The first time I came to church here, I met Rachel. She walked up to me, introduced herself, then said to me, "There's something special about you. I feel drawn to you. There's something special." Since that day, my life has changed so much. I found my home church here at FCBC, and I was lucky enough to be a part of Rachel and Linda's small group. Our whole small group is here today. Do you guys want to stand up and just, we're all here. Stand up. Stand up. These are just a few hearts that have been touched so deeply by Rachel. Lost my place. They both, Linda and Rachel, have become such an enormous part of my journey with God and in life. Rachel has been a mentor, role model, and inspiration in my life, as I know she has been to many of you here today. When I lost my mom in 2012, I prayed to God to bring me a strong female person into my life that I could learn from and turn to. My prayer was answered when I found Rachel and Linda. They are everything I prayed for. Rachel, you have been such a treasure to all of us, and we couldn't have been more blessed than to have such a wonderful person to be a part of our lives, a part of our church, and such a great wife to Pastor Art. You've brought joy, wisdom, love, and encouragement to our church. Thank you for every heart that you've touched and every soul that you've inspired. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you for loving us. We wish you all the best in this new chapter of your life. And I'll just finish with a quote from Winnie the Pooh, because he says it better. How lucky we are to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard.
I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. Art and Rachel have been such a great part of our life. First I heard of Art was when Ray Salmon lost his wife and had to give up the ministry in Nanton. And the board was looking for a pastor. They found this guy that was a drywaller, and after quite a bit of research, they decided to call Art to the church in Nanton. It was quite a awakening to see the depth that this young fellow had. His ministry was to a church maybe a third the size of the people that are here. And he reached out to us as individuals, loved us, and the church grew. And there was much spiritual strength and much togetherness. And Art, all these years, has left that same feeling wherever he went. Church board got together and decided they needed a bigger building. Small town, little money. How do you influence people to get behind all of this? I remember the day. Somewhere in the country, he found a single bottom plow. He pulled it out to a field. And he talk to us about churches not being just led by a minister, but churches work together. He strung a long rope onto this plow and made an effort to pull it, and of course, it never went anywhere. Then he called the rest of the congregation, and together, I don't remember how far we pulled that plow, but we dug it in pretty deep and hung it up. But the message was there, and the church continued to grow. Together, we built a church in Nanton. Part of this growth was due to his wife. Much of this growth was due to his wife. I have a verse that I'm sure Art read 1,000 times in his life. In Ecclesiastes, if you can find a truly good wife, she's worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him all of her life. Have you read that before? Yep. Rachel was different. I don't know if the board even noticed when they applied for the position here in this church. The picture they used, do you remember it? Rachel was barefoot. And that's the way she has always been. She's a little easygoing, and that's what everybody loved. Another thing that she did that was different was she needed to know the truth about some of the congregation. And one day she decided to prove it. She dressed as an old hag. She went and visited many of the congregation as an old hag, looking for a handout on her last bit. And she found out which ones were generous and which ones weren't. Some sent her away without anything, but some she does remember too, I'm sure. I was told to keep this real short, so I had to go over it about 2 or 3 times last night and keep cutting stories out. But I'm sure we'll probably tell you some of the other ones later. Retirement, Art. In my studies, I was looking through the I was looking through a concordance and through some study guides and through the Bible, I can't find the word retirement. I think he knows too that he'll never retire. It's going to be different for him, not a formal church. But I know that his spirit will never quit looking to lead others to Christ. And that's what it's all about. We love you both, and we'll never forget you. God bless.
So there will be an opportunity after lunch for others of you that want to share a word or two. We've given extra grace to Jake and Carrie, but others of you that want to get up to share here, you've got 90 seconds. So plan your words carefully, and I'll be beside you encouraging you away from the mic after 90 seconds. But anyways, all of us have bucket lists, right? You know what a bucket list is? Things that we always thought we'd want to do. Rachel, come up here for a second. So some of us have, you know, I mean, we want to get our pilot's license, or we want to drive a race car. I mean, I guess that's guy things. We want to, you know, there's different bucket list things. Rachel had something on her bucket list. What was this? I don't understand this bucket list thing. What is it that you want to do, Rachel?
Well, for at least 20 years, when I drive in the countryside and see those pivots, you know, the sprinklers?
Irrigation
pivots, yes. I really wanted to run from one end to the other through the...
This has been on my bucket list for probably 20 years, and that is to run through an entire pivot. And so thank you to Kevin and Laurel. They have set this up for me. So here I go. Apparently it's over a quarter of a mile long. So. All right.
Wait, Lord.
Never met anybody that's been on their bucket list. Oh, jeez. Okay, can I have some lights back on here? Thanks. Okay, some of you are getting hungry, so we're gonna. Oh, sorry, you got something else to say? Oh, we can do it after lunch too.
I'll do it right
now. Do it now? Okay.
I have no control of the program.
This is a little something from me to you.
That.
Do you want to sell
some? I don't know if I want you to see it. right on. Burnt out, but still smoking. Ha 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 ha